already partaking of that inheritance. Now, the resurrection has not yet come, right? It hasn't, but there's a sort of a spiritual resurrection that takes place in our lives. Alive from, as those who are alive from the dead, as it is written. You know, we are supposed to walk in newness of life. But of course, ultimately, the true perfection comes. Our bodies are always going to be imperfect. That doesn't mean we can't walk in uprightness, because that's why he's saying in verse 5, we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, which is ready to be revealed in the last time. The salvation ultimately entails, because look at, we can walk in righteousness all our lives, right? We can walk in holiness and godliness and be so upright, and we die like everybody else. You know, and it just sort of looks like, well, those people are kind of nuts. You know, they're not enjoying the pleasures of sin. There they are denying themselves, fasting, you know. I mean, they'd probably think, oh, yeah, it's good to, you know, not overeat and you know, I'd be healthy. And there's definitely a lot of good pragmatic reasons to live in righteousness, right? But not to the degree you start, you know, letting it mess with your life. Because as Paul said, if Christ be not risen, we are of all men most miserable. Really, because in our life, I'm sitting in my life ready to deny myself things for the sake of the kingdom. You know, and think of the apostles, the way they suffered, they died, they were tortured for just, what, a lie? Christ be not risen? Well, I know. I'm kept from sin by the power of God. His power is what keeps us. It's what guards us from sin. And that power has to increase until there's no sin. And that's the work of God. I can be diligent, but even if I'm able to be diligent, it's because God put diligence in me. If I'm not diligent, if I'm slack, if I end up lacking all these promises, you know what? God isn't even with me. So I rejoice when I see Him pushing me, prodding me, moving me forward. He's giving me things and growing me in Him. You want to see that too. You need to see that. And I pray you see it as soon as possible so that your heart may be encouraged and the patience may have its perfect work. We learned what that was. That you wait for something and you receive it. That's what patience. But, and then you learn, if I'm patient and I wait, I'll get it. And so then you wait patiently. Having to wait for things, you know what it made me learn? Not just like, okay, you got to wait. No. But, well, it did, but it made me learn, if I wait, it'll come. It'll come. We have an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, fading away, reserved in heaven, in Christ. It's reserved in heaven, but the inheritance is not all just going to be kept there. You know, it's guarded from loss or injury. But when we partake of the divine nature on the earth, by whatever means, would it be when we when He helps us overcome sins in our lives? Because even the most hardened false gospel preacher will somehow yield. Yeah, you can overcome some sins, right? And is it not a blessing? And is it not a blessing of God when one can overcome something that is a torture and a, you know, that's why I look at sin. It's like this. I mean, obviously, some sins are more damaging than others. As far as some sins actually seem damaging, like drunkenness, you can see the wreckage it creates in your life. Other things, like loving pleasure more than loving God, it's not so obvious necessarily the damage that it's doing. Or covetousness, it can be, but maybe it's not so obvious. You know, depending on how covetous, you know, if you're covetous to the point where you're actually, you know, ruining your financial situation. But not everything has a pragmatic reason. Not everything is pragmatically, you know, going, you know, going to make sense as far as the righteousness of God, like self-denial or affliction. Suffering, affliction. What's the pragmatic good in that? I suppose, yeah, I could logically figure out pragmatic good in being afflicted. But most people really don't look at it that way. And I'm not here to give you pragmatic or logical reasons for everything. I guess that's why I'm saying, well, I used to think of Christianity in exactly those terms. It was like an intellectual exercise. Everything had its reason. Everything had its logical purpose. Everything was, you know, and it's funny how through all that gobbledygook, I really had so little knowledge in the truth. The power of God keeps us through faith. Because faith is like our key. You know, it's like we believe on the promises of God and then we obtain. God, Abraham believed God and it was imputed to him for righteousness. And then God followed up and delivered on the promise that Abraham was believing. Abraham was believing a promise. And God actually delivered the promise. It's like God saying to Abraham, Abraham, you're going to have a son. And then he doesn't give him anything so that he could have a son. Like making Sarah's womb fruitful. God just says, have a son! Well, then he could go on and have, if that was the case, then he would have had a good excuse in Ishmael. Meaning, well, God, you didn't help me, so I had to do it myself. But God does help us. His power is going to help us. And it's our faith in that power. How powerful is God, the power of God in our lives? In whatever area. And I tell you what, he's very powerful in this time, in overcoming righteousness. Yeah, he's probably not going to, you know, if you're missing a leg, now God could give you his leg back, but he's not really into that right now. Go ask, right? But I tell you, his power. You know, more people would believe that God could restore missing eyeballs than would believe God could create righteousness in a sinful man like me. And I mean real righteousness, not human righteousness, which is, you know, 98% maybe, if they're good. But 100% righteousness, pure righteousness. Because anything less is unrighteousness in the sight of God. It is a filthy rag. It is our own righteousness. I'm flipping around in the Bible. And I'm like, what was I looking for anyways? Because the mouth just keeps going. But I do remember, I just wanted to say, how powerful is the power of God to deliver us from sin or anything?